Well, welcome everyone to episode 2 of WP Late Night. I'm not the only one here. With me are Brad and Dre. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hello.
And we have a chat room with people. It's live again. It's always a little bit, there's a little bit of nerves doing live shows, right? Because I mean, one of us is going to say something just awful at some point, particularly with all this.
That's what the drinks are for. So there's no regrets. We regret it the next day. We don't regret it right now.
It's not to loosen you up. It's to make you okay with messing up, right?
It's to make me accept the inevitable.
So number 2. This is actually a thing now. What do you get? We were talking about a little bit before we got started. What are your guys' thoughts on how last time went? This is what, 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago.
Sure.
Something like that.
Sure. 2 weeks ago.
It was forever ago. In internet time, it was an eternity.
I thought it went well. I mean, I was, you always second guess yourself, you know, after the show until you actually go back and rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a good time doing it, and I was really anxious to do the next episode. So, and the feedback seemed pretty good. You know, there's obviously some technical things we're working on, but it's only going to get better with each episode. So I thought overall it went really well.
Same page. I haven't done too many shows in this type of format, so for me, I was pretty excited to get it kicked off with you guys and being the first show together. I thought it went pretty well. Again, aside from any of the technical things that we're going to be working through anyway, pretty excited to see where this goes.
Cool. Same here. I mean, it's still kind of rough editing all the video, but it'll get faster as time goes by, and I'll be getting them up faster too, which will help.
We're gonna hold you to it. So.
Oh, I know. I feel the stares. So, what else have you guys been doing? What's new, Brad? I see you put in the doc here that you've been working on the Philly WordPress meetup.
Yeah, we just had our January meetup 2 nights ago, and we had over 50 people show up. It's the biggest one we've ever had. This is actually the first one we had since WordCamp Philly, if you can believe that. We haven't had one since. With the holidays and everything, it was just too hard to get one going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, over 50 people. I mean, it was almost like a very mini WordCamp, you know, with that many people. So I'm anxious to have some really cool speakers throughout the year. And with that many people, you can really do some different things. You can break off into little, you know, segmented groups about different topics, designers, developers, users. It's much different than if you have, you know, 10 people show up where you can really, you don't, can't really break off into that because there's probably not that many people interested in the exact same thing. So I'm excited. We got a really, really awesome WordPress community here, and it's getting bigger every day. We just passed 500 members, and my goal for this year is to get us in the top 10 for WordPress meetups in the world. And we're not that far out. I think we're in the 20s now, so we're
kudos,
coming.
Dude. Wow. Kudos. That's awesome, dude.
It's a strong group. I've been to a couple WordCamps that were around 50 people.
Philly has had a very big Drupal community, and there was really not a lot around WordPress, but a lot of people interested in it, just nothing formal.
Is that count that you're talking about? Is that via what is it? What's the site called?
Meetup?
Yeah, meetup.com.
Yeah, meetup.com. So if you do, I think it's wordpress.meetup.com. It lists out all the WordPress groups. Now, it mixes in non-specific WordPress groups, so like web developers of, I don't know, I think there's a couple that are very generic. It's like a web developer group. It mixes those in too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it has the really large ones. I mean, like Boston is a big one. You know, New York obviously is a big one. Texas, Austin? I think it's Austin that has a really big one. Like there's some massive, over 1,000 members, you know, in these groups. So we're hoping to get up there. And, you know, obviously the city's large enough and there's enough people. So it's just really getting the word out there. So it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
You're the man.
Killing it. I remember I was at WordCamp Birmingham, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, which is actually my first time there, which was fun. I got to meet Brian Krogsgaard, who writes on the site and again. And I think during Jane's presentation, I think this is where I remember hearing it, she's talking about how they have plans to improve like the WordCamp organizer experience on meetup.com, that they're kind of working with them to make the process of setting up to basically have sort of an official WordCamp organizer sign up area, and that like the foundation will be able to take care of dues and stuff like that. So it sounds like it'll be getting pretty cool soon.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see where that's going to go, because obviously, I mean, you could make a plugin or site that, you know, mimics Word or a meetup.com, but there's obviously a lot of moving parts behind that site. You know, there's automatic reminders, and mm-hmm. I mean, I think about once a week, everyone in the group gets reminded when you have a meetup posted, and then the week of, they get multiple reminders. So
yeah.
It'd be a matter of scheduling that and allowing people to RSVP, and then you can allow people to pay if you're going to charge. And I mean, so as much as I'd love to see it move away from meetup.com, it has to be a really good solution before I would consider doing that for the Philly group.
Yeah.
Talks about Facebook and using that as it's lackluster compared to Meetup. I'm not a big fan of Meetup myself, but it does have all those little pieces that that bring everything together. I mean, the automated reminders is huge, and that in itself is it could be pretty daunting, you know, especially as the group grows and you have different events going on and sponsors and whatever else adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was a little bit skeptical about it at first, and then finally set up, a meetup group on meetup.com here in Fort Wayne. And, like, within a couple hours that afternoon, there were, like, a dozen people, you know, that were part of the group already. I mean, it's more about the people that are already using Meetup and not so much the functionality, because that, you know, it's probably not that complex. It's just that's what everybody's using right now.
And one of the challenges in bigger cities is the whole payment thing, because you don't want to charge. But a lot of times, if you don't charge, you get so many false RSVPs. And we've charged and not charged and played with it. And when we charge, it's $5. It's you know, as small as we can get. But it's to get someone. It's funny because when you charge $5, you'll get almost like a 90% show up rate. And if you don't charge nothing, it's usually about 50% from what I've seen. Well, and I'm sure that varies by group, but I mean, that's a huge difference. So we would charge $5 and then throw that money back and buy pizzas and sodas for everybody. So not to make money, but just to make sure, like, hey, if you say you're coming and we have limited seats, don't take a seat up that you're not going to show up and use, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I see a similar thing on the WordCamp front, right? And I've seen a couple WordCamps get damaged because of that, charging too low. And it's exciting to get people into an awesome event for a pretty low cost. Right. But when you minimize the cost so small that it's really just, you know, I'm going to go out drinking Friday night and well, the hell with it. It was $10, $15, $20 to get in. It's no real big loss to me. It can be challenging. The attrition rate grows significantly when you're talking about attendees, 200-300 people. You're going to get a higher percentage of folks not showing up if the cost is too low. So it's a fine area there to kind of tune in. Hey, what should that cost really be to ensure that you're bringing a great event for a low cost, but yet you're still going to bring in all those folks, attract those folks come game day, right? So I think it goes across any type of event. How do you? That's a pretty challenging thing, I think.
I think it varies quite a bit too, based on region. Like I'm sure your experience being on the West Coast, San Diego area, and my experience being a Philly on the East Coast. I bet there, even if we play with the exact same numbers, I bet we'd have different results.
100% of the time. Yep.
Yeah, and it's you know it's there's definitely a science to it, but I don't think you can have like this is the perfect way to do it in every single city. And you know, we could go on all day about this if we want to get into WordCamps, because WordCamps are the same way. Like, you know, every city's different, and you can't treat one WordCamp, you can't just have this WordCamp template that works for every city, because every city's different. You know, every city has the ecosystem.
Yeah, and you know, it's you're right. It's not going to work. You know, the cost in San Francisco, the cost in Philly versus San Diego. I mean, we're pretty high. It's pretty high cost here in Southern California. So
versus Fort Wayne, Indiana, that's up there, baby.
Oh yeah, I mean you think you know cost.
Well, when you hold it though, you're going to get some folks coming down, man. I already committed. I'm ready.
Obviously. I mean, I know I've got that. I'm pretty sure both on video and audio somewhere now. Create a special clip just for promises. I just realized that I didn't send out a tweet from WP Candy's account.
And why would you promote this special?
I know, right? What am I thinking? Dre, what have you been up to while I'm shamelessly tweeting this out?
Well, WordCamp San Diego, speaking of San Diego, is moving along. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago that we had secured the venue and budget. Everything was ready to go there. So we released our official call for sponsors and speakers here in the last week and a half. That's going really awesome. We're changing the site around a little bit. So we're still working through that. And we'll start posting speakers and the different sponsor stuff, as well as just the regular kind of ramp up content.
Sponsor
stuff. Yeah, it's really exciting. So next thing is kind of get the ticket sales going. So we're hoping to beat our mark from last year, which we sold out in like 4 days. The people are hungry for the content down here, so we're going to give it to them. The speaker submissions that are coming in are insane. We're really, really happy with where it's going. And we think we're going to put on a really killer event. So, yeah, that's been a lot of the focal point. And I was in Brazil for a week. Here, just got back last Friday, so that was pretty awesome. That was more on the work front. That's about it, man. Just trucking along.
How many tickets are you selling for the event this year?
We are looking at a little over 300 total folks to attend this year. Nice. So that's significantly larger than last year.
Last year was like 200, right, or something?
We're right around 200, just short of 200. This year we're looking to be a little over 300, so we're really, really pumped up about the event this year. We're actually bringing on the dev day this year, which we didn't have last year. Last year was a one-day event, so we will have a formal dev day at a local. It's called Comerge. It's a local co-working facility in San Diego, and that'll be the Sunday after March 25th, which is that Sunday. So the event is actually the 24th.
And Ryan, you're going, right?
Yes, I will be there. I think I may even be sending in a speaker submission too. So
I need to do that as well.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Dre keeps emailing us, guys. Seriously, though. No, seriously, this time, get your speaker thing in.
Trying to get it.
It's coming. I swear, you'll have it by the end of the weekend.
It's on my list.
Hey, we'll just put out a post saying, hey, the reason that the schedule wasn't up, guys and gals, was because these two knuckleheads decided to take their time. You know, they were too busy promoting Web Dev Studios and WP Candy. Wow, look at that shameless plug.
Kind of busy. I don't know what it is, but there's something in my field of vision that's giving me the impulse to go hire Web Dev Studios to do work for me. I don't know why.
I don't either.
It's happening.
It's Dre's hat, and we talked about this in the last episode, and I don't know what it is about the hat, but it just makes me want to hire Web Dev Studios.
Awesome. Hey, I'm not getting any royalties off this either. We need to talk, bud.
So since all three of us will be there, then I can almost guarantee there will be some flip cams happening at the
there
after party. Some
go.
On the scene, you know, impromptu interviews after a few fizzy pops. Which are always fun because I usually dub out my voice because my questions make no sense and I just keep the people actually answering.
I'm Brad Williams. Give me a Bud Light.
Is that how I sound?
Shuffling.
Awesome. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I like the ducks.
The ducks were outstanding.
Ducks are great. They got better dance moves than me.
Yeah, I'd have to vote for that.
Definitely true. So yeah, you guys want to get into some discussion topics here?
Yeah, we're like 30 minutes in. We haven't even got to our topics. I guess we might want to think about starting that.
All right. I want to talk about this jetpack thing. It's not so much a story as it is, if I followed this right, it was a plugin that was released that Mark Jakewith put out, right? Manual control for Jetpack. And it's kind of funny because him releasing the plugin kind of made everybody aware about how Jetpack itself works, which is that it defaults to automatically enabling any new components or features that are added to Jetpack on update. I like Jetpack, but I also kind of hate Jetpack. Am I alone in that?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't hate Jetpack. What I hate is the API key because the API key is buggy, and I've always had problems with the API key.
Mm-hmm.
You upgrade a site, you move a site from dev to production, the API key that you've been using for years gets rejected. I can't even use it on our site. I went from WordPress.com to Jetpack. It keeps kicking back my API key. And at that point, there's absolutely nothing you can do except contact WordPress.com support. There's nothing you can do. That's all you can do is when it rejects it, you have to do that, which is extremely annoying.
So that's like a bug, right?
It's like you have the API key. I get having the API key. I understand it.
Yeah.
But if you require it, like make it easy to use, make it intuitive. If there is an error, give me an error that actually makes sense. Don't just say whatever, like that didn't work, you know, which is basically what it does now. It's like it gives you no information. I'm a pretty advanced user. And I have problems with it constantly. I can only imagine what the novice users think of it. But, I mean, I like Jetpack features. I like the stats. The stats are nice. I like the email notifications.
See, I even like Jetpack for what it is, which is, like, I like that bundling idea of taking relevant functionality and putting it together like that. I think that's interesting, and there aren't that many plugins that do it. Actually, EditFlow is a recent update. You can disable components of the plugin. I really like that kind of way it works, but there's just some things about Jetpack, like the nag box and the now this that I didn't even realize was the case, that it auto-updates or, automatically turns on updates.
And I think that's the issue, the fact that it's not disclosed. I went through the Jetpack website. I went through the plugin detail page. Nowhere on there does it say it will do this. I honestly probably would not have a problem with it if they just said they do it. Yep. But they're not telling anyone they do it. They're just doing it. So, you know, the average user would have no idea. It's only people like us, and really only because Mark Jakewith pointed it out, I wouldn't have known either that they're actually doing that and auto-activating. So I'm always going to take a second look at it. Like, why do I really want to install this? What are they going to activate next? Who knows? You know, who knows what's coming down the pipe? But
sure,
I definitely don't want things ever auto-activating on a site that I'm managing or a site that I'm running without me being there to test it, you know?
His description lead-in sentence says it all. In the repository, the Jetpack plugin by Automattic does something sneaky. Well, it in a sense, it does. I mean, if you disclose that, I think that's the responsible thing to do. Now, leading back to the actual plugin in itself, I think we're going to see a lot more of that, right? These type of bundle plugins. I mean, what if we get to a place where you're able to bring in some type of interface where you're into the .org type environment where you're able, you know, an app store type thing. And I think that that's foundationally kind of where this may be heading, right? But you need to disclose these type of things. I mean, apps just start turning on by themselves on my machine or my phone. I'm going to be a little bit perturbed by that. Same thing applies here.
It's a cool idea. The first time I'd seen something similar is with Gravity Forms, which is a premium plugin you pay for. But if you have a developer license or if you buy, they have additional add-ons for Gravity Forms. Like one's a PayPal. One's a where they have a MailChimp, so you can automatically subscribe people to your MailChimp newsletter list. What's cool is if you have a dev license, you can actually, when you install it, there's an add-on menu. And it lists all the different add-ons, and you click which one you want, it automatically downloads it and installs it. When I saw it, I was like, that is awesome. Like, I don't have to go to the site and download this little the add-on that I need. I can do it right through the dashboard. It knows who I am based on my API key. But it obviously doesn't just auto-activate all these add-ons. It gives me the option to pick and choose what I need, because I don't need all of them for every site, you know? And actually, we have Triple J in the chat room, John James Jacoby, who works at Automattic, and he made a point which I think is a good one that we should definitely mention. And he said the point of Jetpack is to bundle the WordPress.com hotness in one place for .org installs. And they're working on making it more clear and make the enable disable more straightforward. So, I mean, honestly, that's my only gripe is make it clear. Yeah. Like, if that's what you do and you say that's what you do, I don't have a problem with it. But you have to tell people that's what you're doing. And then, you know, you can't do it behind the scenes and then we find out because somebody made a plugin to block it, you know?
Right. Yeah, no doubt, Brad. I mean, to me, I think that the plugin is awesome. I mean, it's got some really strong things to it. I personally use it on various projects. It's that clarity. Let's be upfront about those type of things. Should be an opt-in thing. I don't want everything enabled by default on my site, period.
And I like Jakewith's plugin. It's called Manual Control for Jetpack, if you're looking for it. And that's the one that basically stops that from happening. His FAQ, the first one says, why don't you just ask them to stop doing this? And his answer is, I did, period.
I mean, I think it is a like it's a tough sort of thing to navigate because the idea of Jetpack, I think, is to be as easy as possible for just the average user. And I think it is probably like none of us would even have an issue with it if it was disclosed, because for the average person to need to go in and check on each update to see what was new added to determine whether they should want it or not. Like with Jetpack, it's more about here's Jetpack, trust us, this is good, you want these things, right? And as soon as it stops being that, then the average user doesn't want to use it anymore. But assuming it is that, then automatically enabling those things is the best thing for that user. It's really just the disclosure thing that seems to catch people up.
Oh, I get the thinking behind it. I mean, I see your point. I think it's a valid point. you're right. It is that disclosure piece, right? Be upfront about it, and I think you'd avoid this discussion altogether.
Can I just point out that our chat room is having some awesome conversations? So if you're watching this back after this, if you actually join the chat room live, like, they're actually having some really cool debates and you know logical conversations around the topics we're talking about.
Just like brainstorming, throwing this out there. What if I could like screen cap the chat as well and throw that into the video feed? Would that be interesting?
Does that fall back to making more work on your plate that you were talking about not doing?
Well, I mean, technically, but I mean, it depends whether no. It depends whether the end result is something cool for the video versus you wanting more duck dancing videos. If the more work is making the final product better,
if making me pick between that and ducks dancing. I think we're going here.
I'm going with the ducks.
Ducks. All right. I'll add more ducks in.
I'll tell you what. That's what this is all about, right? Getting folks talking about topics that are relevant in the WordPress space. And I love to see the strong banter here. You've got some really, like you said, logical discussions here. This is good.
And having, like, a mature conversation around topic and not hate mail or bad behavior.
Yep.
Right.
Segue.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's worth emphasizing too that the only reason it's even worth, or that I think it's worth digging into Jetpack like we do is because it is really cool.
Yep.
And I like the plugin.
It is
and
cool.
I want to
and
not
I like
most
these of
the other
features. And I think most people can benefit from the features. It's just if that's what you're gonna do, tell people you're gonna do it, and then I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Same page.
All righty. Hey. I picked that one. You guys, what do you guys want to talk about next?
Well, I tried to give you a lead in, but obviously I missed it. Fighting here, so bad behavior, treating people good, not bad.
Oh, see, I totally flubbed that.
Yeah.
Kevin John Gallagher.
Cue the ducks.
shuffling.
Okay, so who wants to? Brad, you recap this. It's your segue.
Okay. Yes, let me pull it up here. So a guy by the name of Kevin John Gallagher wrote a blog post. I don't know. It's probably a couple weeks ago. Probably shortly after we did the last episode.
Yep.
And the blog post was basically talked about why his company is actually going to move away from WordPress and move into using different platforms. And he actually didn't state where he's moving, but he basically said they're getting away from WordPress, and he listed a lot of reasons why. A lot of features that he felt were lacking. He was frustrated with the UI updates that seemed to happen pretty frequently from the user experience, and I guess a lot of the users and his own employees were just very frustrated with WordPress as a whole. So he wrote this very detailed blog post, which we'll link in the show notes, which you can read. And I guess Jeff Chandler from WPTavern.com wrote a post called Bad Behavior in the WordPress Community. And apparently ever since this guy wrote this blog post, he's been getting threats. His site's been DDoS attacks. People are pulling purchases from an event that he's associated with. So there's just been a lot of really bad things going on going towards this guy because of this article he wrote and just being very candid. So basically, the question is, why is there all this bad behavior in the WordPress community? And who's doing it?
Yeah, it's bad news. It's not okay. Jeff wrote the post about it when he blogged it, and then ReadWrite Web did a write-up that was actually really awful. If you go find it, it's pretty, like, for a write-up about somebody else's opinion, it does a pretty poor job of it. And then it also was on Hacker News for like half a day, like pretty high up. So it got a huge amount of attention in the course of about a week. I think he said statistically he saw like 100,000 hits to that one blog post in the course of a week. So
it definitely touched a nerve. That's for sure.
You can't even predict it. It's that weird sort of perfect storm of elements that make something like that just hit it and get everybody reading and talking about it. And I still don't quite understand it because, like, I found it interesting, but at the same time, it's like, this is one guy's criticism. It's kind of crazy that it is getting, that it got like Read Write Web covering it? Like what?
It definitely blew up. I mean, it's
yeah.
You're right. It's just one of these things. I'm sure there's thousands of posts like this out there. Why this one got picked up? Who knows? But it did, and it took off, and everyone started really, you know, tweeting it. It's funny because his comments, he doesn't have comments, so they're turned off from the start. So
that is the only, and I don't know if I've mentioned this to him, but that's the only thing that bugs me about Kevin John. Like, is I want comments on those blog posts because he writes interesting stuff, and I want to comment.
If you're going to write something like this, I get it. You know, it's your opinion. That's fine. But, you know, give people the chance to kind of to voice their opinion on it, too.
Yeah. It's one of those blogging decisions I'm not crazy about.
Well, it's the right tweet at the right time, right? Obviously, there was no comments there, so it spread like wildfire everywhere else. If you look at it, it gets right back to the discussion that we had last episode one, the shame episode of WP Late Night. That's... is, you know, Dre's tattoo. I mean, are we really heading towards that kind of cult feel and mentality, right?
Right. It's kind of actually ironic that we were talking about that as sort of a joke last time, and then, you know, stuff kind of blows up like that.
So very, very.
Maybe we started it.
It was all your fault, Brad.
I blame the Ducks, personally. No, but I mean, I think we can all agree that that's not what we want, right? Like, if there's, I don't know anybody in the WordPress community that would react the way that, Kevin John's saying people are threatening him and things like that. I've never met anybody that seems like they would do that. That is really sad.
Yeah, we obviously, between the three of us, we know quite a few people that are out there in the WordPress community. I don't know anyone that would do stuff like that, to be honest. I think it's probably really edge case. Who knows who's doing it? It's probably not people that are very involved or active in the community anyways.
Well, and as community members, there should be no tolerance to that, right? We shouldn't be allowing things like that. So when that does happen, I mean, when you get into death threats and messing with people's families over, which, yes, arguably the most popular, publishing platform ever invented. Great, I get it. But we're going to go talking about killing people? Like, really? That's taking things way beyond where it should be going.
Yep. No, it's really frustrating because I prefer to read things that are critical about WordPress because, honestly, too much stuff about what's good. Like, I know those things. You know what I mean? Like, I like hearing about and reading about these other use cases and where people kind of find their limits with WordPress. That's good, and we need that. We should be encouraging that.
100%. That's where you improve, right?
Yep.
So if you are lackluster in certain areas, how can we improve those things where you're not going to get that by the fluffy comments like, oh my gosh, WordPress is awesome. Yeah. Great. Tell me something I didn't know already, like you said.
Yeah.
Where are the deficiencies? How can we continue to improve? How can we continue to increase our footprint by advancing the platform, right? Mm-hmm. And that's in the end game is to really, continue to improve the whole thing, the community, the platform, and everything that we use it for.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's silly. I mean, nobody should really take offense. I mean, I like you said, Dre, it's criticism. And if you can't learn from criticism, then you need to get tougher skin because everyone's going to get criticized throughout their life. And especially like in a professional environment, if you're surrounded around a platform, whatever it is, you're going to get criticized. You have to learn from it. You know, you have to be able to absorb it and not taking it personally. So, I mean, we could obviously go through every one of his points and pick out, oh, this is why it does it well, or this is why, this is a plugin you could use, but you could do that on any platform. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it's fair to say that we all, I'm going to try Brad's segue thing here, we all protest that sort of thing happening against critics of WordPress. Right? Wink.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of protests, ooh, that's crazy that came up. Speaking of that, last week was the big, what was it? Was it the 18th? I want to say 17th, 18th, somewhere in there. It was last Wednesday, I think, was the big SOPA protest.
Yep.
A lot of big sites went down. Wikipedia went dark, and then WordPress.org and WordPress.com also joined, which was I remember seeing I think it was you, Brad, who was like, "Wait a minute, we're gonna go dark. Are we still gonna have like the codecs and plugin access and stuff like
that?" that had me a bit concerned because that would, you know, affect my business. So
sure.
And yeah, that wasn't the WordPress.org. They obviously had the big splash screen when you went to the site, no matter what section. But you could still get to it. Just scroll down. You could continue to WordPress.org. Because obviously, I mean, I'm on that site daily. Mm-hmm. My entire team's on that site daily, you know. So it was I'm glad they left that open. I mean, obviously, I totally support the protests, the, you know, SOPA and what is it, PIPA? They were,
I think so.
They're obviously ridiculous and they need to be shot down. So I totally respect that, but I didn't want it to affect my business.
Well, interesting. I you know, I don't know who covered it. Maybe TechCrunch saying that Wikipedia actually saw an increase in traffic on the day on the 18th when they had everything blacked out. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I forget where I heard it, but I tweeted out last week. Someone wrote, put that SOPA in your PIPA and smoke it, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Well, yeah.
Did you guys see the Twitter account somebody created? And I forget what it was called. It was some play on Wikipedia. Somebody in the chat room will grab it and link it up. But they were just – the Twitter account was only retweeting people confused about why Wikipedia was down. Oh, it was so depressing to read. It made me so sad.
Like every high school and college student,
yeah,
that isn't a, you know, online very often.
Well, but that's the thing though. Like and it's worth saying that I think the WordPress.org and .com, like, their blackout pages were very explanatory and helpful. The Wikipedia one, like, it was good, but I mean, it was so short. It was only it was like three sentences or two sentences, and it explained everything, and nobody read it.
Yeah,
it's at her. Derpedia. Herp.
Yeah, there we go.
Totally butchered that. Herp.
Thanks, J-Trip. Yeah, that was – it was funny, and then as I went down and I'm reading and there are like hundreds of them, I'm like, oh, man. This is awful.
Kim Parcells wrote in the chat room there, unfortunately, there are more bills being passed that are as bad, if not worse, than SOPA and PIPA. I mean, that's just reality. I mean, look at what we
killed. It's going to keep happening. You know, obviously Hollywood and the rest are pumping, you know, millions of dollars into lobbying these politicians. So it's going to be an ongoing battle. But this obviously was the entire internet standing up against it, which was pretty amazing to see.
Well, it was the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, they had it in two different bills, and it was pretty blatant where they were heading with it. What they'll end up doing, Kim and everybody else, is basically breaking those down and taking the specifics and lobbying those into their own separate initiatives and trying to drive that in through the process. We're never going to avoid that, but it was really neat to see everybody stand together. There was talks about, you know, you saw the Twitter profile pictures and all these images and things around people blocking it and standing up against it and the whole nine. And individually, I thought, well, you know, what's really that going to, you know, what's it going to change? But overall, when you look at everybody that got engaged with that and that was opposed to it as it moved forward, I mean, it really poisoned the bills at the political level in the sense of, well, now if we get behind this, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're probably looking at some political problems here if we continue to move this forward. And I think collectively it helped fight it and push it away. So it's exciting to see everybody stand up together against something so, you know, so common. Awkward silence.
Cue the ducks.
Again and again with the ducks.
Oh boy, we've got a new mascot.
It was also it was cool seeing a mascot. Is that going to be that's like the image for the next show? Is going to be that duck?
The duck standing. So did you guys black out any of your sites?
I did the ribbon thing for the last week.
I did not black out any of my sites.
I did not either. But considering all my sites collectively get about 50 hits a day, huge loss, but
I've got two visitors to my personal blog. One of them's on this show right now, myself, so like really irrelevant.
is the other one also on this show right now?
No, but I think they're in the chat room.
Okay.
Jane's in the chat room. She said there were 26,500 sites that opted to black out on .com.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Okay. Awesome. You know, it's neat to see again. I mean, collectively, I think that we did make a difference. I mean, it really swayed some thinking around, at least from their political career perspective. Well, maybe we should not support this, right? So it's exciting to see. I think the worldwide implications is what really got me, and there was, I think, a lack of understanding there worldwide as to what and how this would have affected the world. So I'm really glad that it stepped away. It's you know, it's fallen off the table because it could have been disastrous.
You know, I think one of the most frustrating parts is you have these politicians that can't even type that are making these rules and regulations that affect the entire internet and technology, you know, industry in general. Like, I feel like at this point there needs to be some kind of, you know, almost like a driving test for technology to even be a politician. Like, how can you actually make rules against these things that, and you have no idea how to type? You don't know what Facebook is. You don't even know how to use email. It makes no sense to me.
But yet it happened.
But yeah, like you said, it's also important to know that this is going to happen again. It's not something that you know we kill off one time and it's done for good. I mean, we just have to be more diligent about watching for this kind of stuff because I think it's going to be harder to spot next time.
Well, again, I think they'll break down a lot of these initiatives into their own, you know, and drive them separately by themselves. So in their own right, yeah, they're still equally important for us to be looking at and vetting and making sure that we're standing up against or for what have you. But it's going to be more challenging to do, right? It's not as large scale where everything was in the bucket. Like, let's roll with it. They roll with SOPA and they say, hey, we're going to have at it. It's like, are you kidding me? You're out of your mind. So it's going to be more difficult.
Agreed. There were a lot of plugins made too.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to think of a good segue into the next one.
Please don't let me stop you.
I've got a segue in a honey badger and a pink pony.
Well, it's not a segue if you say what you're trying to segue into.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just killed the segue. It's also probably not a segue if we say that it is one.
We're obviously very, you know, professional.
You're on it.
Podcast journalists.
Got this. So honey badger has been around longer than pink pony. It's worth saying up front that this is where we discuss utter nonsense, right?
We have honey badger and we have pink pony press.
Oh boy,
ready to fight it out. This is going to go down the hill real quick.
yeah, man. You just go straight to the nonsense. I figured that would be with these other like. Like stories that have content to them.
We should have led with this one. Let's be honest. This is what makes our show.
All right. Go for it. Go for it.
I'll let Dre have this one. Come on.
All right.
Go
for it.
I don't even know. I'm still like in awe. A pink pony and a honey badger. That's just brilliant.
Walk into a bar.
Yeah, they walk into a bar. Stupid. Just crazy. The tweets that have been going on. I'm still a little confused as to what's going on. So I'm probably not the best guy to really talk about.
Yeah. So there are people, likely two people. Although if it's one person, I kind of like it more because then there's a special sort of insanity brewing.
Oh, sure.
Because they talk to each other, and that would just be bizarre. They're just gag Twitter. It kind of reminds me of the what was it, WordPress?
Yeah.
That was, I think, last summer around that time, something like that. They're just, you know, WordPress parody accounts, I guess. The Honey Badger, I didn't know about. You guys told me about it yesterday. I didn't even know that it existed until then.
Well, there he is, or she.
The badger. How do you check a badger's sex? I have no idea.
You turn it over and smack it on the butt. You're stupid.
So honey badger, like you said, it's been around a little longer. Honey badger, you know, we're not taking points here, but honey badger has its own site. Pink pony press does not. Just throwing that out there, pink pony. Obviously it's a play on the whole honey badger don't give a shit funny meme video that went around a long time ago. And it's the website's actually really funny. It's wphoneybadger.com. And he has these various short little posts about why this honey badger just don't give a shit. In relation to WordPress. And then there's Pink Pony Press, which apparently was mentioned in a WordPress dev IRC chat
a couple weeks ago
as a joke. And you know, somebody registered the account, and all of a sudden the Pink Pony Press is You know, it says they're going to be this hidden feature in 3.4. I probably wouldn't bet on that, but the Pink Pony Press is out there. So the big question is who are these? Like, honestly, I thought Ryan was Pink Pony. I swear up and down, I thought Ryan was Pink Pony, but you swear you're not. So
nope. No, I am certainly not. It's not. Nope. Not me.
I think
the exact thing I said when you asked whether it was me, I said, come on, you know, I'm at least a little bit funnier than that.
Wow.
At least a little bit.
Well, that's debatable, but
I know. Right. But that's what I said. I could be wrong. I'm usually wrong, but yeah. So I don't know. My initial guess when I saw any parody account was, whoever's like, there've been a few people behind Nason Bot. And they're always kidding around with that thing. So it's like, yeah. Oh, it must be one of those guys. But I don't know.
A couple of people who are behind that. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly have no idea who could be behind it. But it's fun, to be honest. Like it, mm-hmm. I remember back when there was this whole thing, and this was probably a year, maybe longer, where everyone was complaining about the hidden, if you compare two of the same revisions. And if you haven't seen that little Easter egg in WordPress, you know, go to a post and try to compare two of the exact same revisions and see what happens. It's a little Easter egg. It's funny. And there's a lot of flare-up about how, you know, clients do that, and they're confused, and they think they entered the Matrix. They don't know if they're in this reality or another. And Matt basically came out and said, you know, we got to keep the – I think he said we got to keep the personality or the heart in WordPress. You know, you got to keep it fun. Like, obviously, it's a powerful tool, but you have to keep it fun. And I kind of feel like these two things do actually – help keep it fun. So it's fun seeing them go back and forth.
So fair to say then we actually don't want to know who they are, because that would take the fun out.
We got fun, man. Have you read through their tweet stream? I mean, like I was giggling uncontrollably reading through those things. It was stupid funny, man. I vote for keep them under wraps.
I really don't want to go digging. Like, I mean, I'm sure they've covered their tracks, but but yeah, I'm willing to let it go.
It's kind of funny how, kind of going back to where Pink Pony started from was just to throw off people like you, Ryan.
It's my fault.
Press.
It's my fault. I apologize.
Pink Pony Express spawned from you, the press, you know, getting too deep and announcing features when they're not set and, so, I mean, honestly, you're the reason it exists.
I'm so sorry.
The irony, if it was Ryan, because that just makes too much sense, I guess.
Either way, I think it's fun, so I hope they go back and forth. I hope they end up fighting and, you know, make a little baby. Didn't someone joke the other day they'd have a baby? I can't remember what the name was. It was like Pink Padger or something.
That's when we know we've all gone too far, is when those things spring up.
When they have a hybrid and it turns into another Twitter account.
No, it's when the duck, the rapping dancing duck makes its way into a WordPress related Twitter account that we know. That's when we know the podcast has arrived, just so you know. That's
oh, that's good stuff.
I can't possibly think of a segue for this.
You can't segue into this one? You can't segue your way out.
Nope, it can't be done. Not in this short of notice. But I did like this story, or like this blog post. Joost de Valk blogged about removing dashboard widgets from his plugins, which I am really happy about. I think it's an awesome move that I'd like to see more people do. Basically, he has a couple of, you know, or he is at least one of the developers, or lead developers, I should say, of some of the most popular plugins on the directory. I mean, is WordPress SEO one, and I think he also doesn't he work on the one, like the Total Cache or something too? Or am I off base on that one?
No, that's
somebody else.
That I don't know.
Okay. He's got the WordPress SEO one, which is really big, and there are a few other ones that he does that are.
That 3TC is Frederick Towns.
Okay. All right. But anyway, he has, and me and some of the authors on WP Candy have kind of given him a hard time here and there, because his plugins have also been some of the most prevalent plugins to add widgets to your dashboard that have like an RSS feed from the developer's blog. which is, like, I've always found it to be really annoying, and I think it's really cool that he's kind of stepping back from that and going through alternate, taking alternate routes to get people news about what he's doing.
You know, it's funny because you put this article, and I actually didn't see it, so it must have slipped by, but when you put it in, I read it. My initial impression was like, oh, he's getting rid of dashboard widgets. I kind of like those when they give you, you know, good information, like, you know, if a contact form plugin shows you how many recent contacts you have that you haven't read. I wasn't even thinking like, oh, it's an RSS feed that just promotes my other crap. Like, that's not even, I guess I'm not even in that mindset. When I had a dashboard widget, it's not an RSS feed to my website. It's not, you know, promoting my other plugins. It's a dashboard widget that has to do with the plugin. You know, if, for example, like CollabPress, there's a dashboard widget that shows you like number of projects and tasks. You know, it's a project management plugin. And it shows you all that stuff. It's a functional widget that has to do with the plugin. And that's immediately what I thought. And then I read this and I'm like, oh, yeah, that wasn't thinking that at all. So it's kind of funny, the two different mindsets. And I know, obviously, Yoast is—he's very good at getting his name out there. He's very—you know—he's—if you've used his plugins, which most of us have, they have—they're great plugins. Don't get me wrong, but they have a very clear way to donate, a very clear way to hire him for his services, which there's nothing wrong with that. And this is another way for him to promote his services, which is again, which is fine. I guess I wasn't thinking that. I always think of a dashboard widget as something that can increase the functionality of your plugin.
Oh yeah, I always kill them. Anything that's not what I want, I'll, you know,
yep. Done.
Drop in that whatever it is, remove widget or deregister or whatever it is to get rid of those plugins, because they it's clutter. It's not unless you want that for some reason. In which case, typically, if I want it, I'm going to go find it. Like you said, I'm not. It's an extra feature that's not really a feature.
And that's like one of the first thing I do for like a client if I'm setting up their site. You know, I know Yoast's plugins have that. W3 Total Cache has that, where it's like an RSS feed. I kill those for them because one, it just loads the page faster. You know, leave the widgets on that you're going to use. If you're not going to use them, get rid of them. But it also goes back to the point of the nice thing is WordPress gives you the option to hide that stuff. Like if you don't like it, hide it. You know,
it's true.
The plugins are still good. Obviously, as SEO plugin. It's come out of nowhere. I mean, it was just released, maybe a year ago, if that, and it's...
Last year's, about a year, year and a half, yep.
It's probably top three SEO plugins out there now, if not...
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's debatable where it positions, but I would say it's top three in less than a year. So obviously he knows what he's doing, but it's... To me, it's not a big deal. It's like, if you don't want it, just hide it, but, you know, maybe some people have an issue with it.
Well, I mean, there's also, I don't know. There's that, but then I know, like, we have a few, you know, couple of sites of a few authors on, and I know it's going to add that. Obviously, not at every permission level or every user role, but that's also going to add more stuff for other users, depending on whether you have, you know, how many people managing your site, I guess. But that's why I always kind of take the extra step to remove it entirely, because I think it's a little bit much. But I like this because him doing this and other developers doing it would influence people to maybe stop doing that entirely, which I think is the ideal, to kind of, and this is segue material, to get towards smaller, simpler, kind of tighter plugins that do one thing and do it well.
Wait, I'm totally going to break your segue because I just, sorry.
Let's like save it. We'll capture it.
You know what a great plugin would be is to detect dashboard widgets. And if there's, you know, a fetch feed call or an RSS feed call, just kill it. Kill it. So, you know, Mark Jakewith, if you're listening.
Wow.
Yeah, just activate the plugin. And any plugin that activates that, you can automatically deactivate.
So, Brad, you've gone beyond giving people on this podcast work to do to now just giving people... in the world, things to do that are just out there minding their own business.
Yeah, I should probably throw that one together, but that would be a fun one. Obviously, you could detect
it's funny.
Your dashboard widgets, and if it's doing that, automatically deactivate it for all users. You know, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. It would just kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Brad is randomly assigning, you know, plugin projects to people.
I'm going to go through the chat room and tell people what they need to work on. So
I like that. This is good.
Let me ask you this. Should it be included in the plugin, or is that something that's a standalone? I mean, you know, we talk about bundling things together or separating them. What makes most sense?
We have, like, that's why you get WP the big Candy, bucks. There's a dashboard feed plugin that if you want to see recent posts about WP Candy in your WordPress dashboard. That's all it does. And it just gives you options about what you want to see in it.
Well, that brings up Justin Tadlock just released a post on that, on one multitask plugin versus several single task plugins. How do you think that would work best? I mean, what is your guys' take on that?
I'm a big fan of small and light.
That's like three segues, so I think we need to move on to the next
one. I think that does it.
Before you butcher it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, horrible. Horrible.
That's great.
Small and light, huh? So
ducks.
Yeah, ducks. A group of ducks, not a single big duck.
So, very many small ducks dancing.
So yes. So Justin's post, to get us back on track, his post was kind of asking a question whether, and this kind of plays into some of our Jetpack and sort of component packaged plugin things we were talking about at the beginning of the show. He was asking whether users prefer to have small and light single-purpose plugins or larger plugins that are maybe larger in scope and do more than those smaller, lighter plugins would do. And really, I mean, his post is solid because it generated discussion, but really it's the discussion that's worth reading because you get all sorts of opinions on it.
Sure.
I mean, I know what I like. What do you guys like?
I'm sorry, I was fixated on that beautiful book cover sitting on the sidebar.
Okay. I like the smaller, the simpler, the better.
Oh, I was looking at the same thing, Brad. I'm sorry.
It just draws your eye, like that beautiful book cover. I just want to click on it and buy it.
Why do I need to hire somebody? I can't get this feeling.
Yeah, it's the hat. I wasn't sure if I was looking at the sidebar or the wall to your left side there, Brad. It's the same thing.
That reminds me. I wanted to ask you during the show because I mistakenly asked you before. I have not seen that WordPress shirt before.
Yes.
Where did it come from?
This is a new one. It's funny because I recognize Dre's shirt. That's WordCamp Las Vegas.
Yes.
This year. And I got this shirt at WordCamp Las Vegas. It's given out from InMotion Hosting, which is a pretty awesome shirt, I think, you know?
Very cool shirt.
Let me flex for you guys here. Screenshot.
Hey, okay. You started anytime, Brad.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
Anywho, small, big plugins. Because this is a good question because I know we all have various plugins of different download counts. You guys probably far more than any of mine, but I know Brad, you in particular have CollabPress, which is like that's a decent sized plugin. It does a lot, right?
It's a decent size. I mean, it's basically project management. I think he makes a good point, but I think it really depends on what the plugin does. Like, it's hard to say across the board, general smaller plugins are better. Like CollabPress, for example, you can create projects. It's very similar to Basecamp if you ever used it.
Sure.
Create projects, create task lists, create tasks, assign them out, comment on the task, complete them out, things like that. Breaking that plugin up doesn't make a lot of sense because it's, what are you going to break it up? So a plugin just makes like tasks and a list or just projects and no tasks. Like, each one kind of complements the other, the feature.
Sure.
The problem with breaking up stuff like that is you'd almost have to have like a framework plugin that is like the brains behind the whole thing and then have these add-on plugins that kind of introduce the one feature you want. Like, probably a good example would be like BuddyPress. Imagine if BuddyPress broke up. Into BuddyPress ships with what, 6 or 7 very unique features.
Mm-hmm.
Things like public profiles or public extended profiles, groups, forums, private messaging, friends, very distinct features of a social network. If you were to break those up in individual plugins, you would still have to have that kind of core framework that would know, okay, if you have one plugin, this is how it should work. But if you have 5 of these, this is how it should work. You still have to have that. The brains of the operation, pretty much. But I think in certain cases it makes sense because I have seen plugins that do one thing really, really well, right? And it gets a lot of downloads, and then the plugin author loves it, so it just keeps updating, adding all these features that you don't want and you don't need. Like, just stick to that one thing you do really, really well. And if you want to do these other things, release more plugins. So I think it really depends on what you're building. I don't think it can be like a broad, this is what we should do type of thing.
Well, where does that lead into? Like let's go back to Jetpack for a second. Now you've got this group of very distinct, different feature sets, and it's broken down. And if you look at the screen, it's got they're broken down in the little spots there. Where do you think the future of that goes, right? Because that is a foundationally that kind of framework type of plugin, and it's piping in all this other stuff. Do you see other plugins heading that way and just really modularizing the different functionalities they're bringing in through, you know, plugin daddy, whatever the heck we want to call it, right?
And plugin daddy, I like it.
There we go. And then you're bringing in all these different functionalities. I mean, I see a play for that in the future. And in essence, it's really breaking down in those different areas, right?
It's available.
Silence again. It's great. Do you guys see that maturing and people doing more things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan stepped away for a second to grab a power source, so we'll drag this out.
Nope, I'm back.
Oh.
Hey. I thought I could almost make it, but I wanted to leave a message just in case that happened.
Like me when I'm on a beer run.
Yeah, yeah. I figured I'd do a little bit more than you usually do and at least tell people. Because you're just, like, gone from the frame. It's like, where did Brad go?
I just like to make people think my feed glitched.
Mysterious. No, it's good. You kind of have three different approaches that I see as being popular. One is large plugin, large compared to smaller plugins. It's does kind of a few related things that are maybe difficult to tear apart. Then you have kind of component plugins that are sort of things that could be separated but aren't, and instead are just like you can deactivate each of them. Like within the plugin, which is what EditFlow does, or kind of what Jetpack does, but like Jane pointed out in the chat room, it's a little bit different than other ones, or what BuddyPress does. And then you have small, kind of functionality, really light, easy to use plugins. I mean, of the three, I prefer either component plugins or the functionality, small and light ones. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my most popular plugin is the Custom Post Type UI, and I just passed 100,000 downloads. I don't know. I think it was last month, which is pretty cool. But I can't tell you how many people have asked me. So basically, the plugin allows you to register custom post types and taxonomies through the dashboard. You don't have to do code. It does it for you. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, hey, are you going to add the option to create custom metadata for those post types in the plugin? And my answer is always no. That's not the point of the plugin. The plugin is to make your post types, make your taxonomies. If you want to add metadata to those, there's some really great plugins out there that do that. Like More Fields is one. Advanced Custom Post Types is another. There's some great plugins that do that, but that's not what my plugin does. My plugin does one thing, well, two things: custom post types and taxonomies. And I'm trying to make it do those things as good as it possibly can. And that's the only plans I ever have for it. So. But I can see where other people might have tried to do that, where, okay, I'll make post types, I'll make meta fields, I'll do everything I can possibly do with posts inside of one plugin. It's just too much, and it just introduces so many bugs, and it does way more than it needs, and, you know, I like the specific ones.
I mean, the one thing that I like about the small, light, very specific plugins over other kinds of plugins is there's no... What's the right way to put it? Like, I have no second thoughts about using them. I mean, you know, the majority of times that I'm using a plugin like that, it does one thing, whether it's maybe tweaking WordPress performance in a certain way or behavior or changing. Usually I have a few plugins that just change the way other plugins perform. And I have really no second thoughts about using them because they do one thing. Their description line is a sentence, and I know exactly what it's going to do, and that the relative cost of using it. Not to say that there's any inherent risk in using any plugins, but the relative sort of, you know, energy and thought and everything else that goes into making this decision to activate this plugin is basically nothing. Whereas any more complex plugins I think about a lot more before I start using them, and I kind of pay closer attention, I guess.
I don't know, man. The more things you install, the more things you got to worry about, and you know, it doesn't make things, for at least from a security perspective, any worse off. I think it's how you manage it, right? How is it being administered? Countless times we tell folks, you know, a little garage cleaning goes a long way, right? You've got, you know, installs from 2-3 years ago. You've got plugins you haven't used ever, and they're just sitting there. And your risk floor raises when you have those things just sitting on your server for no reason. why keep them there? So it gets back to the plugin thing, right? All right. The more plugins you add, is your security risk higher? Well, it really comes down to how you're managing it. Are you keeping them up to date? Do you have only things installed that you're using, and everything else is off the server? So it's a concerning thing, but we see it all the time, right? People have 50, 60, 70 plugins, 50, 60 themes. They're using one, right? So why do you have all
that's
these?
Probably more than .com has.
It's nuts, things. Man. You go in there and it's you're like, are you kidding me? I mean, why do you have all this stuff in here? And why are you upset now that you've been infected with TimThumb off of a theme that's been sitting there for 2 years and hasn't been used, right? It's the capacity of understanding that and then implementing controls around it. So I get concerned with breaking out and adding more things because it does become a bigger administrative task, right? So again, it gets back to how you're managing that.
I think it just goes back to, like, really, you know, no matter what plugin you're installing, big or small, you always need to kind of check it out. Look at the reviews. Look at the forum posts. Look at what people are saying. Look at the rating.
Absolutely.
If the plugin has 10 downloads, I'd probably wait till it has a few more. If it has, you know, 10,000 downloads, 100,000, a million, chances are it's probably a little bit, you know, I'm not saying it's perfectly safe, but chances are it's been vetted a little bit more, you know. So it's always do your research, just like anything else, you know. If I worked at security.net, that's, you know, that's what I would advise anyways.
And we reciprocate.
I'm just glad nobody could accuse us of just using this show to cross promote all of our crap.
If you don't promote yourself, it's cool, but I can't really.
There's no danger of that happening.
I can't really say that I don't do that.
Oh, I didn't put this in the doc, but one thing I wanted to do, and maybe we can, I don't know, I think this is probably a good place for it. On a previous podcast I've been on, we've done things like picks, which we never really talked about doing on here at all. But I think it might be kind of interesting because at least it would be interesting to me because I know you guys are doing stuff on a weekly basis that I'm not doing. And what? So I'm curious to hear.
You're talking about a plugin pick?
Yeah, plugins, themes. I mean, aside from like your own books and things, maybe anything else I think would be fair
game.
Read. What do you think? Is that fitting for WP Late Night or is that...
Eh, we could do it. I feel like it's been done a million times.
Okay, well, how about we do your thing then? And instead of picking plugins, we assign plugins that need to be made to developers in the community.
I like that approach much better.
Yeah?
Well, he's already assigned Mark, Jake Whit. Who else have you assigned to that? I heard at least two or three that you could
put out
there.
I tried to assign myself something, but I don't know.
When you're on the list, you made
the list. I like this a little bit better. We pick out things that need to be done and give them to
pick
people.
Pick out a need and tell someone who has to do it. And
yeah,
that
yeah.
Better
it's their assignment for the show.
There's no requirement around knowing them or anything. I mean,
oh, absolutely not. It's preferred if you don't. Yeah,
just do it.
We just need to go through the chat room and assign things out to everyone listening to us right now. So
who's first on the list?
Brian Lehman, something with multi-site. That's cool.
All right.
Pete Mall's in here now. Pete, give some core updates. I don't know.
Pete's a Niners fan. No one cares.
I love when we jump on segments we clearly haven't prepared for.
Yeah,
so you know what? I like this idea a lot, but we might need to table it and actually like work on it for next show.
Yeah. We might just want to work on the next show before the next show.
That's probably a good idea. But hey, an idea I had, and this is the unscripted portion.
I say I like the top 10 list, which we don't have one this week. We failed.
Yeah.
I say we come up with a top 10 list a couple days before the live show. We throw it out there to the viewers, let them help us build it, contribute, yeah. We'll give you props, just like the open source way. Share that top 10 list. I think that makes us a little more unique than the other shows out there.
Can do.
The top 10 is kind of fun, man. I think it was pretty funny last show.
I need a big poofy hat, and I want to, open up
oh, there you go.
It's the old skit that they used to do. Yeah, we're all too young. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Not, I mean, okay, I got it. I enjoyed it.
Well, I don't remember what the skit was called, but they used to do
it. Well, I mean, I could pull it up, but I don't want to look something up and kill our stream. Somebody in the chat will name it. Let's see, outro, what's coming up around the bend? Like I mentioned, I was at WordCamp Birmingham last week, and that was a lot of fun. I hope to be in Atlanta here in, what, a week?
Yes, I will be down there.
Yikes.
You both will be there. I've heard good stuff about that, so sucks I'm going to miss out, but I'll definitely be watching the stream.
Who else from the room is going to be there? I know Lisa will be there. I saw that on the speaker list. Jane is speaking down there. I'm not sure who else will be there. There'll be a few folks from the room there.
Hotlanta, baby. What's the hashtag? Is it WP Hot?
Yeah.
You can't beat WP Y'all.
I know that was pretty cool. Killer.
Yeah, I like that.
What do you guys have coming up before? I mean, obviously there's Atlanta. Anything else going on until the next show? I think. What will that be?
Well, it depends when the next show is. Are we talking 2 weeks? Are we talking 2 months?
2 weeks. It hasn't been 2 months. It's been a couple weeks. That's all.
I'm kidding. I'm going to Super Bowl, baby. Well, not the game, but I'm going to Indianapolis next week to
oh, right, that thing
I grew
that
up
I didn't
in Indiana.
Know.
Yeah. I grew up near Indianapolis. It's like my home turf, so I'm going back to hang out with friends and just take in the experience. So it's not WordPress related, but I'm looking forward to it.
I wish I was going. I was at the 98 Super Bowl in San Diego. Brett Favre. I know Lisa would love that.
I was 11 at that point in time.
Wow.
Just going to throw that out there.
Really yep. Old. I could vote and smoke all at the same time.
Oof. Oh my. So does that wrap it up?
Lisa got it. Johnny Carson, what?
Karnak. Yeah.
Efficiency.
Wow. I was 51 in 98. That's dirty, Pete.
Next week I may not have the hat, but I will be able to read envelopes before I open them. So
envelopes. They were Pink Pony and Badger. They were pretty. They were pretty calm and collective. I was expecting more.
Yeah, they need to drink a little more alcohol out of the trough.
That's another thing to work on for next show.
Yeah, see, that works for the pony. What about the badger? I mean, I don't think it could reach the trough. Horrible, dude.
The last 10 minutes of the show are just like
it all breaks down. You realize it's all a sham.
There's the pink pony. From the chat room, is there any questions? Anybody?
Oh, yeah, that's good. We don't have any mailbag stuff, so that's a good question, yeah.
Get some live questions going on here.
Well, live questions with a 20-second delay, but...
because yes. Gray likes to curse.
No, that would have been Brad. Okay, maybe Dre, a little bit.
This is dangerous when you start seeing gist being dropped into the chat.
Yeah, we definitely need more mailbag. The mailbag's fun. We need to make sure. So,
while people are dropping in anything,
I would love to get some voicemails we could splice in. How cool would that be?
You know what I want to do? I want to drop that information for people. Let's do that.
Like it's hot, baby.
Yep. If you want to email us, you can do so at wplatenight@wpcandy.com. You can also call and leave a voicemail, like Brad was saying. At 815-322-WPLN, which those are numbers. You need a real phone, though, to really figure those out. But that is a real number. You can call and leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show, which, judging by the chat room, I'm sure some people will go and do that right now, which won't help us. That'll help us for the next show. Let's see. Are there any questions showing up? Oh, you can also tweet with the hashtag WPLateNight. And we'll
I know in future episodes we're looking at actually bringing people in for quick little impromptu interviews via Skype to get them on video. So it won't just be our three pretty mugs. We can actually.
Which will be so easy to do because our connection is just rock solid, right?
Yeah. We'll have like 50 people in here or something. Yeah. But yeah. Hopefully we can grab a person here and there and bring them in just for a few minutes and you can see their face. You know, maybe people you know from the community that you've only seen on Twitter or an IRC. You can actually see them, and I'm looking forward to that. So, coming up.
I like it. Looks like...
Pig Pony and Mr. Badger, or Mrs. Badger, I'm not even going there. You guys were invited, and never corresponded.
I literally had to dream about this, that we'd splice in Pink Pony and just be a bunch of stamping and...
just no more splicing in.
Once for yes, twice for no, Pink Pony.
Oh, my.
Please make that happen.
Pete, Google Hangouts are good, too. I don't know how that would work into the whole session here.
I mean, we've talked about a couple different ways. I mean, this is probably not the best way. It's just the way that we knew how to do. I mean, if Google Hangouts could work, I mean,
Yeah.
The one nice part about this is we do. If we did Google Hangouts, I'd want to find a way that, and this is all probably completely boring to most people, so we'll wrap this up quick, I guess, for the actual podcast. But we would probably want to find a way to individually all record our video. That way, we can still make something out of it that's not like a video that's just a screen capture of a Google page. I don't know, but we'll have to play around with that.
We'll play with it. I expect every episode to get a little better technology wise. So. Bear with us as we work out the kinks. But, I mean, we got video. We're doing live hangouts. I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know any other WordPress podcast doing this. Do you guys?
No, I think the technology will continue to get better. I don't know that the content discussion will.
It's just kind of get worse.
Yeah. I don't know of anybody else, Brad, honestly.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Twitter time. You can follow WP Candy on Twitter, at WP Candy, myself, at Rhinimal.
You follow me at Williams BA or Williams BA.
Or Brian or Brad Williams as it went out today.
Yeah, don't follow that.
It's an administrative error.
Funny, the one Brad Williams that I've been competing with on Google for 5 years is the little person comedian Brad Williams who is a little more popular than me. So
yeah, my handle is Dre Ocho Cinco. Oh, Brad Williams.
So do we have like a typical sign off for this show yet? We haven't really found that, have we? We don't have a tagline or anything to really end it.
Ducks.
Every day I'm shuffling.